Thank you, Matthew, for these good songs today. Some of you may have recognized the one that we call Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. It's actually Beethoven's Ode to Joy, which is actually the theme song, or one of the theme songs from that great Christmas movie, Die Hard. Y'all know that, right? You know that. So thank you for bringing Christmas to our ears today. And I want you to know that this is going to be the last time I get to speak to you guys this year. We have some cool things coming up over the next few weeks. Next week, next Sunday, one of our college kids, Justin McCleskey, is going to preach for us. So that's going to be great. I hope you'll come here and support him for that. 2 weeks from today, of course, is Christmas Day. We'll talk about that in a minute. And 3 weeks from today is New Year's Day, and we have a special speaker that day. Taylor Kuntz is going to be here. I remember Taylor. He's going to be here to preach for us that day, so that's going to be great. Lots to look forward to. And so we are racing through this holiday season. Doesn't it seem like that to you? Even with the deliberate slowing down that our recognition of the old tradition of Advent kind of forces upon us, it still seems like we're moving at a hectic, frantic pace towards the big day. By the way, Christmas Day, we have the annual and always awesome and amazing Tammany Oaks Christmas worship service. Did you see how I got all these A's to line up here? That's six A's in a row. That's when you know you got a good preacher, when he can do that. That's awesome, huh? But anyway, that's always a great, great worship service. Matthew, no pressure on you this year to make it awesome and amazing, but we know it's going to be great. We're looking forward to that. And by the way, a great time to invite your friends. You probably have some friends who only go to church on Christmas and Easter. You probably know some people like that. Well, invite them to come to church with you that day, on Christmas Day. They don't have to listen to a sermon. It'll be a great and awesome and amazing service that day. So invite your friends. That'll be good. Well, in looking at Advent this year, in thinking about Advent this year, we started 2 weeks ago lighting the candle of hope. You remember that? And we talked about it and we saw that the idea of hope for the coming of the one who's going to change all that's gone wrong in the world and set it right, actually began all the way back in the garden, all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3. And so God's people have been waiting for, watching for, hoping for, praying for, anticipating the advent, the coming, the arrival of the promised one since the beginning. Last week, we lit the candle of peace. We talked about how Jesus didn't leave heaven to live a servant's life here on this earth and die a criminal's death just so that we could have that peaceful, easy feeling. He didn't even come to end all war and conflict on the earth. The peace that Jesus leaves with us is the restoration of our broken relationship with God. Which then leads us, as his followers, to do what we can do to restore broken relationships that we come across. And I got to thinking about that last week. This ability to restore broken relationships, it's like a time machine. And I saw a little bit of Back to the Future yesterday as I was flipping around. It made me think, yeah, reconciliation is kind of like a time machine because you can repair the past and it changes the present and it creates a pathway to a better future, all without the problem of time travel, which messes up everything, as you know, typically. But this does it so much better. And we talked about how the Hebrew word shalom and all of its wonderful definitions there. And it's so much more than just the absence of conflict. That's our guide for the peace we desire and the peace that Christ desires for us, not just in this holiday season, but all the time, all year long. And so while we wait and while we watch and hope for and pray for and anticipate the day when, because of Jesus, we will all beat our swords into plowshares, as we talked about. May we as God's people live lives of shalom. So that catches us all up. That catches us all up to where we are in our series. And I can't delay it any longer. We have reached the time of Advent where the focus is on joy. Can't really avoid it at this time of year, can you? Holiday season, you got Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and Ho 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 and may your days be merry and bright. 'Tis the season to be jolly, laughing all the way. There's a happy feeling nothing in this world can buy when they pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie, just to name a few. But if you're paying attention, you'll see that all of this focus on fun and frolic and happiness comes with a clear, if perhaps understated, warning of don't be a Grinch, don't be a Scrooge, don't bring us down with your issues. You better watch out. You better not cry. Why? Because somebody is watching, always watching. Somebody is making a list. Somebody knows if you've been naughty or nice, if you've been bad or good. And the clear implication is that crying puts you on the naughty list, the bad list. Well, you tell me that's just silly Santa stuff. Yeah, I get it. But then there's perhaps, arguably anyway, the greatest Christmas song of them all, which we started our song service with today, Joy to the World. There's no Santa Claus there. There's no presents or pumpkin pie or jingle bells in that song. And just to remind you, here's the lyrics of the song. And if you pay attention, we sang the second verse, but look at the second verse of this song. The earth itself rejoices. Let fields, that fields and floods, and that just means rivers, that fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. That's a lot of repetition of joy, isn't it? Kind of reminds me of something the Apostle Paul said. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Just saying rejoice once wasn't good enough for Paul. Think about this for a second. As unbelievably expensive as pen and ink and paper was in the first century when Paul was writing this, Paul used extra ink, extra paper, extra time, extra money to repeat something which might kind of seem to some of us as though it's of little importance. Rejoicing. Little importance, especially when you think about so many other things that we think are clearly more important and that we wish Paul had spent extra time and extra paper and extra ink and extra money explaining more fully. Like, what is this deal about angels and head coverings in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? You ever thought about that? Or what's this deal about people being baptized for the dead? 1 Corinthians 15:29. Y'all didn't know that was in there, probably. Stuff like that. Why didn't he explain that more to us? Instead, it's this that gets the extra ink, the extra time, the extra paper, the extra money. Rejoice. Repeat the sounding joy. Man, I wonder what it is that Paul was trying to get us to think about there. By the way, the Greek word that Paul uses here for rejoice, kairo, it's the same word that Matthew uses here, telling the story of the Christmas story. When they, the Magi, the wise men, saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. They rejoiced exceedingly with great gladness, it says in the Tree of Life version. They were overwhelmed with joy, the New Revised Standard Version. When was the last time the Christmas story overwhelmed you with joy? Well, for me, maybe for some of you, it hasn't happened this year. At least not yet. As you know, for me, this has been a year of deep sadness. A year of bitter loss. A year of sorrow upon sorrow, to quote Paul again. It's not been easy for me, and perhaps for some of you, to think about this as being the season to be jolly. What do you do with empty chairs? What do you do with empty tables, empty beds, silent nights, shattered dreams, broken hearts, no presents to give, no presents to receive? Where's the Mary in all of that? Seems like a dark Christmas this year. I mean, I guess you could say there's joy if joy means tears on your pillow, if joy means asking strange questions of God, or if joy means just getting up in the morning. I got a text yesterday from my brother's widow. She said, "I don't know about you, but the holiday season is almost too sad to bear without Mac." I mean, Christmas, yay. And yet, when I clear my eyes, when I wipe the tears away and look, this is what I see. There it is. And there the candle of joy has been, shining in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. The Advent candle of joy has been shining every year for hundreds of years. In all kinds of places, in all kinds of bitter circumstances. It's even been shining in war-ravaged countries where food is scarce, where safety is unlikely, where presents are non-existent. In circumstances that make mine seem downright merry. Paul was in prison when he doubled down on joy and rejoicing. How could they do it? Why would they do it? And how can I do it? Well, here's the church answer. Jesus. Right? Jesus is always the right answer. joy, the joy of the Advent season, the joy of every season and in every circumstance is directly connected to where you have placed your hope, which is, of course, the first candle of Advent. And it's also direct place to how you understand love, which is the candle we'll light next week. If our hope is in anything else, our jobs, our money, our president, our friends, our health, our wives, our husbands, our children, anything other than in the finished work of Jesus, freely offered to us with no payment, then we literally have no hope. It's like hoping to cling to a pile of dust in a hurricane. There's nothing there. But the finished work of Jesus is unshakable. It's unchangeable. It's more powerful than any of the circumstances that life is going to throw at you. Being connected to that gives us hope that is way more than a wish and way more than a dream. It's a confident expectation. We've said that many times. And if that's all we had, that might be enough to generate joy. But there's more. But wait, there's more. Love. The unconditional love of God for us. Not based on what we've done. It's not conditioned on what we deserve, thank goodness. It's almost unbelievable. It's hard to believe. Because that's not the way we love, typically. That's not the way we distribute our love, typically. Typically, it's the opposite of that for us. It's conditional. I will love you if you're pretty enough, if you're handsome enough, if you're rich enough, if you accomplish enough, if you don't disappoint me. Aren't you glad God isn't like that? Doesn't it bring you joy to know? As Steve Coles often prays when he's leading his prayers, he says, God knows everything about us, but loves us anyway. Thank you, Steve, for bringing that to my attention. And so because of our hope, and because of God's everlasting love, there is reason for joy, for deep joy, a joy untouched by the circumstances which crash into our lives. And yes, sometimes that joy is going to look a lot like tears on our faces, and going to look a lot like challenging questions to God because you just can't hold it in anymore. Sometimes it's just going to be climbing out of bed when the tank is empty. The reason we can have joy is not because everything is going our way, not because we're living the dream. Joy is rooted in the fact that Jesus has come and that he has brought shalom. He has brought that long hoped for victory. And we root ourselves there, even when we can't see it or make sense of it. Well, that's a church answer. And it's the right answer. It's the right answer. One of the old Christmas carols that we sing, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, it says it pretty well, although we've kind of gotten the grammar wrong a little bit. We think that the comma goes after Mary. Excuse me, we think it goes after ye. God rest ye, merry gentlemen. It actually goes after Mary. God rest you merry, gentlemen. Or we might say, God gives you joyful rest, dudes, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Well, here's another way of trying to explain something that's nearly unexplainable. It was written by the amazing Dr. Seuss. And oddly enough, read for us today by a man who's perhaps best known for being an actor in monster movies back in the 30s. Though he actually won a Grammy for what you're about to hear. The incredible, the inimitable Boris Karloff. He is going to be our reader here. So let's listen and learn.
He was grinchily humming.
They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. Then the who's down in Whoville will all cry, boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear.
He paused, and the Grinch put a hand to his ear. And he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. This sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded glad. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing. Without any presents at all, he hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came, somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch with his Grinch feet, ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling.
How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags.
He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before.
Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more.
Okay, that's great. That's just great. Maybe the joy of this wonderful time of year doesn't come from a store. Or from how life is going right now. As Advent helps us to remember, joy comes from the hope that we have, the shalom that we have, the love that we have, because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Part of the joy I have comes from being part of this family here at Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. Each of you is a blessing to my heart and to my spirit. And I love you. Well, let's let Boris remind us one more time.
Welcome, Christmas. Bring your cheer. Cheer to all who's far and near.
Christmas Day is in our grasp, so long as we have hands to clasp. Christmas Day will always be just as long as we have been. Welcome Christmas while we stand heart to heart and hand in hand.